Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as we heard earlier in the programme, immigration to Ireland increased by 5% in the year to April 24, but it's still lower than the peak of 2007, and that's according to the European Migration Network. Now, in his latest newspaper column, my next guest, David McWilliams, argues that if we want less strain on capacity as a country, we should limit immigration to some extent. But if we do reduce immigration, could future growth be in jeopardy? It's some balance. I'll speak with Suzanne Rogers from Social Justice Ireland in a little while. But first of all, David McWilliams, you're very welcome to the programme.
Cormac, you have it there in a nutshell, which is, well, it is, as I said in the piece, demography is destiny. And what I mean by that is the single most important statistic in any developed country is the size of the population, number one, and whether it's growing or whether it's declining, number two, because from population, everything else flows. Housing, transport, where you put public parks, health resources, education resources, you know, we could go on, but almost everything that is in the competence of the state flows from the amount of people, who they are, where they live, what age are they? How big are their families? All that sort of stuff. And I think it's fair to say that one of the aspects, if you ask people around the country, you know, what has changed in the last 10 years in Ireland? Most people say, well, actually, what's really changed in our town or our areas? The amount of new people. You know, you ask teachers, they say, oh, the amount of new kids in the schools, etc. And of course, the more people, economists sometimes refer to immigration, our immigrants as workers. But immigrants are people. They have families, they have requirements, they need services, exactly like the rest of us do. And what we see now, Cormac, and this is the important thing, is the capacity of the country to create, to build houses, to create infrastructure, is slamming up against the amount of people arriving.
And are you saying then, are you saying, because it's a great thing, and I know towns and villages, and I know people in towns and villages up and down the country that say, well, our school wouldn't have survived or thrived without the new people.
You're absolutely right.
We love the diversity that it brings and all that stuff. But are you saying that it puts pressure on public services like access to GPs and stuff as well and housing? And you can't do the two. You can't continue to increase the population without bringing the public services. So are you saying then in your piece that we need to limit immigration? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is we have a choice. Either we go hell for leather for development, which is, to paraphrase, build, 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 which comes with significant costs for lots of people. Lots of people don't want that. Lots of people think, well, in actual fact, I'm all right here and I don't necessarily want an eight-story building beside me, or I don't necessarily want, for example, a new development beside me. Either we go for development, which really means unleashing parts of the economy that we haven't done before, if we can, or you look at the number of people coming in and you say, well, you know, if, take for example, housing, right? So the Housing Commission in Ireland in 2022 said we probably have a deficit of about 250,000 houses, just to stand still, houses that weren't built since 2008. Okay. And you put on top of that your figures you quoted from earlier on today was 70,000 new people net arriving in.
79, now, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And then you talk to the construction industry and they say, well, you know what, we can only build 50,000 houses a year. So something has to give.
But I mean, we need more people. And a lot of them are immigrants, aren't they? To build those houses that we need for the population. So it's very nuanced, isn't it? Some of it seems contradictory. So your point, I don't understand, and it's me, I know it's me. When you say we may need to limit immigration to an extent, why?
So it's back to the capacity idea. So if the economy is straining at the leash, what economists say, if the economy is running hot, and you can see that the price of houses, the availability of houses, the price of rent, lots and lots of people priced out of the market, congestion, traffic, all these things. Every indicator here is that the economy is straining at the leash. If you absorb in more people, you're going to create more capacity problems. So the CSO, in its latest forecast, looks at three immigration options. One is a high immigration figure, one is medium, one is low. The high one is 45,000 per annum for the next 20 years. The low one is 10,000 per annum. Mm-hmm. We're already this year, as you've quoted, twice, almost twice that, right? Mm-hmm. 45,000 is the target. We've got 80,000, right? So at some stage, we need to join up our thinking as a society and say, okay, is our housing policy consistent with our immigration policy? Is our immigration policy consistent with our education policy? This is what I'm saying, Corey.
Well, I know, but is it not a fact then that we have a deficit of housing and that's driving a lot of this? So we stop building houses, social homes and affordable homes, especially during the recession when maybe we should have been building. And I just wonder, do we have the type of control that you might be suggesting over immigration? We're a member of the European Union where there's free movement right across the Union. We have obligations, legal obligations, we're told by government, on international protection and asylum seekers and so on. Can we control immigration as much as you're suggesting?
I think, obviously, people coming from the EU or people coming from the UK, these are both areas which are covered by EU law. And of course, we can go there, they can come here. But there is a significant proportion of people coming from the non-EU countries. And then the question is, what is the immigration policy for? Is it to make the workforce better in areas we don't have? Is it like a HR policy, right? You know, like the Australians have. For the Australians have a policy saying, well, we need X amount of plumbers, so we need X amount of, for example, doctors. Mm-hmm. And we then say, okay, this is what we need. So the question, what struck me is, if we continue thinking that the population is something that will look after itself, that shouldn't in itself be a sort of a target. In the same way as we kind of target GDP, we say, well, the economy is growing by 4%, and that's, quote unquote, a good thing. Mm-hmm. The question then is, should we not put into our equations the Department of Finance, planning, okay, what is the desired size of the population given the fact that people do not want to be discommoded consistently with development?
Okay, and you raise...
That's the point.
You raise a pertinent question. I would have a fear, though, if we were to curb immigration, because I go into our health service, any hospital in the country, and it's run, people will tell you, by immigrants, basically, or an awful lot of the work is done. Same in the hospitality sector.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I can give you the figures. 23% of all nurses and midwives in Ireland were born abroad. So you're absolutely right.
So the point is, like, if we curb immigration, those nurses and doctors come and go out of Ireland. So they might work in the health system here for a year or two or three or whatever, and then they might move on. So if we curb immigration, are we shooting ourselves in the foot then? Because we're not replacing them with more people.
I suppose I go back to the Australian idea that your immigration policy is, in the main, a HR policy, a human resources policy, that you actually plug gaps that are in your system so that, A, the people who come in here are fully employed in the right job, consistent with their training, so they have a chance to blossom and they have a chance to grow and they have a chance to lead a full life here. But on the other hand, you're actually plugging gaps. Now, again, this is not, as you say, black and white. This is nuanced, mm-hmm. but it's clear to me that it is maybe the conversation that our new government, against a background of what we know happening all around the world, is possibly going to have to elevate as one of the top three or four conversations, which is, what is the desired population? How do we achieve it? And how do we achieve it in a way that the quality of life of most people is not discommoded? And I suppose that is the big question of our generation.
And I think you've called it this clash between corporate Ireland and everyday Ireland, and you say it's going to be the main fault line for the new government. It's fascinating to talk it through with you, I must say, David McWilliams. And thank you very much indeed, I must say, for joining us on the programme and outlining your argument, as you've outlined it in the Irish Times as well, I should say. David McWilliams, Míle Buíochas slá, thank you. Now, I want to talk to Suzanne Rogers as well, who's Research and Social Policy Officer with Social Justice Ireland. Suzanne, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having us. And I suppose I feel like I really need to state two things first off. Mm-hmm. I wasn't born in this country. And also, when we're looking at useful jobs, I'm not too sure how many policy analysts would pass the test. So I suppose I'm conscious after listening to that conversation that I don't know whether there would be a place for me now in the system.
Well, for
here,
this conversation, I couldn't do without you, Suzanne, that's for sure. Can I get your reaction, though, to what David has been saying?
You know, I think if the conversation is about putting less strain on the system and less strain on the capacity by limiting population, like immediately I was kind of thinking, like, you would never have a conversation about saying, okay, we can only have 1,000 babies born every month. And if we have more than 1,000 babies born every month, that's going to put a strain on the system. So we're going to have a one child policy, or, you know, maybe we're only going to pay child benefit for the first two children.
I don't think David was making that point.
No, he's not. He's not. But at the same time, like, you know, if this is about population growth and managing population growth, then that's the conversation we need to have, which is, this is the population, and exactly that, then you extrapolate from that to say, these are the people who are here, same as if they were born here or not born here, like myself. I look for a hospital place. Again, as you mentioned, I've been in and out of hospital recently, so was a pal of mine. The care and the kindness we've been getting is incredible, and it's primarily all non-Irish, for want of a better word to put it. So, I mean, you know, people are in our system, but I mean, if we're going to limit, you know, I don't know if necessarily it's a limit growth. Like, we do really need to have a debate on, as he said, the service and the infrastructure that we wish to have in the coming decades, how that's going to be financed.
But what's wrong with looking at the Australian model, for example? So in Ireland, we have our legal obligations in terms of international protection, and that's a given. You have the European Union free movement, and that's a given. You have the agreement with the UK and that free movement, that's a given. And you have people who come on work permits here, and that's a given as well. So then there are others who come from various other countries. Is there a problem, in your view, at adopting an Australian-type model where it doesn't matter about your ethnicity or your religion or gender, whatever the case may be, it's about your contribution to the country?
I'm not that keen on us becoming, as I said, you know, who's going to, you know, I don't think policy analysts would be top of the list there, you know, for us becoming kind of economic units, and what's the point of view? You know what I mean? Are you going to bring, you know, economic benefits with you if you arrive to this country? But when you list all of those people that, as you said, we've got freedom of movement within the EU, within the common travel area, mm-hmm. we have refugees, again, that's a whole separate system. International protection applicants, it's actually a really, really tiny number compared to all of
it
that.
It is, for sure.
And that's why, in a way, I say come down.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's a given. We're not even discussing that at all. But surely we need to plan for the future then. We have problems with housing and healthcare, for example, trying to access a GP, for example, and other infrastructural pieces in Ireland. And if you're not making a contribution to the country, are you just simply adding a strain on the public services?
Well, I mean, again, it's that thing where, you know, so are we looking at people with you know, who are unable to work, maybe from a lifetime disability? You know, it's like, what are we saying if, you know, are you an economic unit? What benefit are you bringing? Like, I just think that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, this inward migration, it is a success story. I grew up in an island that we left, and we left it in our droves. My parents left, we all left. So the fact that this is now a place that people want to come to, it's safe, it's secure, I think that's amazing. We do need to plan for population growth. There's absolutely no argument there whatsoever. And it does come back to infrastructure and services. We've had a housing crisis here for a certain cohort of the Irish population. since 1919, mm-hmm. You know, going right the way back. And I was just thinking, you know, reading David's piece when he's talking about the transport system, and I always bring to mind those of us of a certain age and a certain persuasion. Aidan Walsh, self-proclaimed master of the universe, was talking about an underground tunnel to the airport back in the 80s. I mean, if we'd started an underground tunnel to the airport back in the 80s, we might actually have it by now. You know what I mean? So like this is...
There's a whole lot of it. And it's not clean, as you say. It's not black and white. You could be the mother or father of a nurse working in the healthcare system in Ireland, and you could be looking after kids or a sick child or whatever the case may be. And you could be contributing in that way, which mightn't be recorded economically in that clean cut way. So it is nuanced. And it is a grey area. But look, Suzanne Rogers, I'll tell you one thing, it's a very interesting conversation. From Social Justice Ireland, thank you very much indeed. And beforehand, David McWilliams.